the gospel is that I got a mortgage. Many people feel that the gospel is that I got a good job. Or the gospel is that I just got married. These are all side effects of the gospel. These are all beautiful side effects. But do you want to know what the gospel is? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 to 4, I believe, will tell us what the gospel is. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in me. Meaning that what the gospel is so important that it saves you. And you and I need to keep in mind the gospel, very, very important, in order to know for sure that you are saved. Verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That is the gospel. I tell you, put your hands together. The gospel is simple. The gospel is simple. So the foundation and what sustains the Christian, or what saves the Christian, or what puts the Christian into eternal life, is the gospel. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And that we must confess with our mouths. Look at Romans 10, 5, 9, and 10. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, let's even go better. Let's start from Romans chapter 10, verse 8 to 10. The gospel. What do you think? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For it is with the heart that man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So you and I must have in mind the gospel. Once we have the gospel, there are side effects of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And many people have turned it around and feel that the gospel is rather the side effect. The gospel is not the side effect. Anyway, I'm preaching about the side effects. I'm making it clear what is important. Yeah. The gospel should be proton. The gospel should be first ranking. I hope kids are not here. The gospel should be first ranking. The gospel should be first. Am I preaching to somebody? When the gospel is first, then we are in line. Everything else will follow. Look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. What am I saying? You and I must make sure that the gospel is proton, is primary, is the most important. We must believe the gospel. And when you believe the gospel, no matter what is happening, whether you have your things answered, your prayers answered, whether you have what you are looking for, the gospel still remains the gospel.
True.
God is still good, whether or not we have what we are looking for.
Hallelujah.
Whether or not you are married, the gospel is still the gospel.
Yes.
Whether or not you are married, God is still good.
Yes.
Whether or not you are homeless, God is still good. Right. God is still good, irrespective of what you and I are going through.
Right.
Because actually, God was good, and will be good, and was good before you and I were born.
Hey.
And when we die, we will still be good. It was good before we also got here. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things we are looking for will be added unto us. Actually, let's start from verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of God is, Jesus is encouraging you and I. He's saying that don't worry about what you eat or drink. Don't worry. Take him at his word. Don't worry. We are human. Don't worry, but you will worry. But whilst you are worrying, encourage yourself that he said, don't worry. Don't dwell on the worry. Rebuke the worry. Because there's victory ahead. Amen. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Which of you and I used to hold a postdoctoral degree in worrying. Postdoc. I was a champion warrior. But this verse, let's go back to verse 27. Is it 27? Yeah, 27. This verse changed me from a champion warrior to someone who doesn't worry as much. Or when I'm tempted to worry, meaning I start to worry, I say, no way, I won't allow that. I'm not going to fall for that. That's what you and I must say. Because think about it, when you worry, does it change anything?
No.
It doesn't change anything. It rather stresses you out.
Yeah.
It rather makes you actually start feeling sick. You actually start feeling sick. You can't think properly because you are worried.
Yeah.
Sleepless nights.
Oh.
Blood pressure increasing. You start putting on weight. Metabolic syndrome. Your metabolic things start going haywire. Because stress produces some hormones and all that. That one, I'll not even try to mention it anymore. But stress produces some hormones that adrenaline and other stuff. And sometimes it's not good for the body. Hallelujah. And certain chemicals. Because stress produces those chemicals because if you are in danger, you need certain chemicals to be released in your body so that you have the strength to run and to flee from a fight. Hallelujah. So imagine you are not using that energy to do those things and those chemicals are still being produced. Worry doesn't help anyone. And Jesus said that. 28. And why take ye thought for clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I see unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today, or today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? This is very interesting. What the Bible is saying is that if things that are perishable, God clothes them, knowing that they'll be thrown away eventually. How much more you and I who are created in his image? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. Leave the Gentiles to worry about those things. Leave the unbelievers to be seeking those things. You and I must rather have faith that those things are ours.
Yeah.
And leave the worry to the unbelievers.
Yeah.
For your heavenly Father knoweth, he knows already what you and I need before we get it. But ladies and gentlemen, you and I must allow God, we must make God trust us.
Yeah.
What do I mean by that? Many people, when they pray once, God, give me that house, and God gives it to them, they will say it was my own energy and my own effort and my hard work I gave it. Let us be people who God trusts, that even if you pray once or you just say it in your mind and he gives it to you, he knows you give him the glory. Because God is very, very particular about receiving his glory. He will not give his glory to anyone. He will not share it with anyone. Verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Look at this verse in NLT. I hear this is Winners Chapel, the founders. This is his verse. This is, he says, if you want to know the key to prosperity, Matthew 6:33. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Amen. I thought you could answer that. Everything you need. All you need to do is to just seek the kingdom of God above all else. Meaning that just make it the primary thing.
Okay.
Make Jesus in your heart happy that he's in your heart. Make the Holy Spirit who is in you, well, let's make it, because I'm part of it. I have to also make the, you understand? We must make the, it feels better. We must make the Holy Spirit who is in our heart be excited he's in our hearts.
Amen.
Not that he's grieved because we are bitter. Not that he's grieved because we are angry. Not that he's grieved because we are angry after the sun goes down. Because the Bible says you can be angry, but don't sin.
Hey.
Do not let the sun go down upon your wrath. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Don't let the Holy Spirit be grieved because you are unforgiving. We must not let the Holy Spirit be grieved because we are committing sexual acts and we are in drunkenness and we are in all sorts of things.
Hey.
Nevertheless, it doesn't mean if you are in it, you are condemned. Of course, if you stay on, you will. But no one condemns you. I'm talking as a fellow sinner who sinned, like whatever, but the sins are different now. They are at the wild.
Hey!
But we've all been in sin, so there's no judge here. Can't you see that when I point at you, three are pointing back at me? Let me show you. Pointing right back at me. So, but we are just talking about righteous living and doing right. So anyone who is in sin or who is struggling with sin, all I can say is that desire in your heart to stop sinning. Pray that God will give you grace to stop sinning. Fight the sin. Do your best to have accountability. Talk to your pastor. Find ways to overcome it. There are people who actually told me that, look, I'm a sinner, I drink a lot, I fornicate. My ex-boyfriend, I'm struggling with my ex-boyfriend. So I'll be in conferences at work, and I'll get a call from the person. When I see the call, I said, don't worry me until it's urgent. When I see the call, I'll excuse myself and pick it up. I'm trying to go to the bar. Pastor David, please, just give me a word of encouragement. And give me a word of encouragement, then you go back home. I'm going to my boyfriend's place. I sinned yesterday and I'm repentant. My boyfriend has called me again. I don't know what to do. I'll encourage you. Who are we? We are all trying to get together. So encourage the person. So we are not talking about condemning people, but we are trying to prepare you for heaven and ourselves. And we are trying to also make sure you eventually turn away. Because without turning away, we cannot see God.
Amen.
The Bible says that without holiness, no man shall see the Lord.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying? So we are trying our best to see God ourselves. Because holiness is also sanctification. Holiness is not just you have not fornicated. You know why? Oh, God is holy because he didn't fornicate. No, God is holy because he's separate. He's separate. Set apart. So you and I must seek God's kingdom. Seek. Just do what we can to live and make Christ's word, Christ's life be supreme.
Amen.
And even when you are not perfect, but you've made Jesus Christ your focus. And Jesus Christ says, hey, this person, I'm their primary responsibility. He would overlook your weaknesses and he would actually help you to overcome them.
Amen.
Am I talking blasphemy or am I trying to say David? I'll just mention David, King David. I think that's enough. Why don't you say King David? I think I've explained it. Oh, the murderer, the adulterer, the counter. But his love for God was so much. He sought the kingdom of God so, I mean, it was so important to him that he really wanted to serve God. That's why he said, "Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." But as he was saying that, and he was purposing, when the kings were going for war, when people were going on evangelism, it doesn't mean that if you don't go on evangelism, you understand what I'm saying. But when the kings were going for war, David said, "I'll stay home." When he was at home, he was just walking around the rooftop and he saw a gorgeous fortified woman. Her breasts and her shape. He said, "My goodness. My woman." And David said, "Call her." You know, he had many to choose from. Many who, I'm sure some of them had her shape, but he saw something new. So he called her and decided to have for further examination. Then he started to indulge in sexual experiences. He started. He didn't do it once. He kept on doing it over and over. Meanwhile, his loyal person was in war for him. "I'm defending my king." And then she got pregnant. So he called the husband, "Come home and be with your wife." He said, "No way, not to be good. Whilst my people are at war, I'm loyal to you, king. I'm not going anywhere." Then the king said, "Come to my house." And he got him drunk and said, "Go to your wife, I command you." He slept outside their door. He said, "I'm not going to have enjoy my wife when my comrades are at war." And David said, "This guy, I'm trying to conceal my sin. I have to kill him because the embarrassment will be too much." So he sent him, and he knew that the man was so loyal to him that when he sent a note to Joab, his army commander, that make sure that you guys go to the fiercest part, the hottest part of the war, and withdraw so that he's killed. And he gave it to this man confidently because he knew that he'd never open it. And the man went, his death warrant, and he was killed. And then David took her as his wife. And God said, "I'm going to punish you, David." Nevertheless, when David heard it, David said, in fact, David was told by his pastor, there was a man who owned one baby lamb. He nurtured and fed till as a baby till it was mature. And his neighbor had many of them and had a visitor. And instead of killing one of his many, meaning that the visitor appetite, instead of using his appetite to kill one of the, he rather went to the one who had one he had nurtured and took it. David was angry and said, "That person must die." And the pastor said, "You are that person." And in the Bible, in the Old Testament, anytime someone was trapped that way and said, "This person must die," he died. Ahab died. He died. But because David was the beloved of God, God said, "I need a worshiper. I can't let him die. Who is going to be worshiping him? Who is going to be a man after my own heart? I can't kill him." He's not dying.
Wow.
Don't you want to be such a person?
Hey!
Where God will say that, "No, this person, okay, I'll just have mercy on him and I'll overlook it and I'll make him a proper guy." That's what happened with Jacob also. Jacob was a bad guy. Jacob was, his name is Supplanter, Trickster. And yet, God chose Jacob to identify his name in Jacob. What do I mean by that? God said, "I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." The one whose name is Supplanter. And because God knew that, "Look, I can't, this is Supplanter name, I have to change it." So he changed it to Israel. Jesus. So what I'm saying is that David said, "Search me and know my heart." David was broken, and God restored him. And because God restored David and David was faithful, it spilled over to his children. Rehoboam did evil. And the kingdoms, the 12 tribes of Israel, God wanted to take all 12 tribes of Israel from him. And so that each tribe would rule, the leaders of each tribe would rule the tribes. Meanwhile, Israel was one. Are you getting what I'm saying? Israel was ruled by Solomon. And then Solomon's son, Rehoboam, was ruling the 12 tribes of Israel, the whole nation of Israel. Now, because of his sin and his not listening to counsel, God said, "I'm taking the tribes of Israel from you and letting each of the leaders of the tribes rule their own tribes. But only because of David, I'll leave Judah with you." Because of David. Don't you want God to say to your children, your ancestors, "Because of you, I'm going to leave a certain blessing in your home. Because of you, because of what you've done, because of how good you've been to God." So God is not looking at what we've done. That's why a prostitute would be a hero of him. And a prostitute would be the great grandmother of David. Jesus, the God of the universe, came from a prostitute because she had faith. A prostitute became a good woman, married into a good family, married into the line of Abraham, and brought forth eventually Jesus of Nazareth. I mean, isn't that a blessing? So it means that no one is too far gone to have the blessings of God. Oh, I thought you could to answer. Nobody has done things that are so bad that they cannot have the satisfied Christian life. Nobody has missed it so bad that I'm finished. I cannot excel. No one has gone so low that they cannot experience the abundant life. No one has seemed so bad that they cannot eat the good of the land. No one has done that. No one. So you and I, the king, we must seek God's kingdom first and his righteousness. And we seek his righteousness. How do you seek his righteousness? How do you become righteous? By faith in Jesus Christ. You seek his righteousness by seeking more faith in Jesus. By building your faith. Because you and I cannot be righteous any more than we are now. No matter what I do, I cannot be righteous. My righteousness is because of my faith in Jesus. Actually, righteousness means right standing with God. That's what righteousness means. Righteousness means being justified by faith. So the more faith you have in God, the better you are. Then you actually shows that you are seeking righteousness. And then live a righteous life also. You must live a righteous life. But living the righteous life is not what approves you. But your faith in God is what approves you. Amen. But if I'm a righteous person, I would live a righteous life. Amen. But the living of a righteous life is not what qualified me. Or it's not what God said caused my approval. What caused my approval is that God said it, I believe it. God said it, I will do it. God said it, I believe it's true. That is what qualifies you to be God's purpose. So the satisfied life, God wants to satisfy us. God said, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. So the conditions for eating the good of the land are what? Willingness and what? Obedience. Now, do you think everyone is willing to eat the good of the land? Everyone is willing to eat Not everyone is willing to eat the good of the land. How many know people who are not willing to eat the good of the land? Many of us were at a crusade. And there was chicken we were serving. Somewhere in Minneapolis, they were serving chicken. St. Paul. East St. Paul. We were serving chicken. We served chicken. And we usually serve it after the crusade. And there were testimonies of God's power, healing people, miracles the evening before. And there was a testimony during the day about a powerful healing. And I started to pray for the people, and this man was blind in one eye, I think, and couldn't hear in a ear, one of his ears. As we're praying, then one of the pastors asked, "Do you want to be healed?" Do you know what the man said?
Tell me.
You see, he knew that God had the power to heal because he saw the testimonies. Do you know what he said? Do you want to know what the man said?
Tell us.
The man said, I've had this condition for many years and I'm not intending to be healed. When is the chicken going to be saved?
Hey, that chicken.
So when God said, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land, he knew what he was saying. Not everyone is willing. Because when you are willing, you will do what it takes to get what you are willing to get. Oh, you can clap for Jesus. When you are willing, when Jacob was willing to marry Rachel, 7 years seemed like a few days because of the love he had for Rachel. It means if you are willing to be rich, you would do the things the Bible says would make you rich. That's where the obedience comes in. What does it mean? It means you will be hardworking. The ant principle. You would be saving. You would give not only to the church, not only tithe and offering. You give to orphans. You would give to widows. It's all in the Bible. God has told us clearly how to be rich. It's all written in the Bible. So we are willing. The steps A, B, C. This is how to be rich. Am I willing? Then I need to walk that path A, B, C. And obey that path.
Amen.
That's what happens. So God said, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the fruit of the land. God has given us so many promises in the Bible. So many promises. And all the promises are yes and amen. But how many of us have said, I'm tired, when am I going to see the promise?
Oh,
how many have? No? Just a few.
Chicken.
When am I going to see this thing? Every time pastors are preaching, yes, God is going to give, God is going to do. Why am I not experiencing it? You will experience it. I said you will experience it. I said we will experience it. The blessings of the Lord which make rich and add no sorrows is our portion. I said it's our portion. David said, I have been young and I have been old, and I have not seen the righteous forsaken, not even once, nor his seed begging for bread. It means that when you are righteous, your seed cannot beg for bread. Cannot beg for bread. The satisfied life. Look at David. The Bible says, and David reigned over Hebron and then reigned over Israel. And the Bible says, and he died in a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor. And Solomon, his son, reigned in his stead. What a testimony. It means that David, what is the satisfied life, which we are about to get into? It is dying old. When you see an old spiritual person and they don't even hesitate, they just tell them, pray for me. One of the people you must ask to pray for you, even if your father or mother is a drug addict, pray for me. Yeah. My father called me sometime and said, let me pray, my knee hurts. I said, pray for me after. Because God has given parents a certain supernatural blessing that no one can use, or you can't get from any other place, not even your pastor. There's a certain blessing that a parent only can give you. And you can just let it slip. And people fight that blessing by fighting their parents. Mm. But Jacob said, I know what this is called. I know what is happening. Isaac said, look, give me something to eat. Because my wife has not cooked in a while. No, I mean, it has to be, because why should he ask his son to do it when the wife does it better?
Take your time, right?
But anyway, that's not even good. Before the woman's woman goes to the animals. Look, women's movement, women's this, women's that. The Bible is the Bible.
Yes.
So Jacob said, let you bless me. And Isaac blessed him. And that blessing is what has carried Israel to date. That blessing. That blessing. You and I, we must seek that from our parents. So David died in a good old age. How many want to die old? Yes, 105 is your portion. You see, but that shouldn't be your testimony on you. You can die, it's what? Someone can die old, but wheelbound for 10 years. Or die old, but bed fast for 10 years. They live the last 10 years bed fast. Bed. Rather, I want to live a long life, live 105 years old, in good health, in strength. So I'm changing that also. Instead of just saying as we say it, then we change it.
Amen.
Yeah. Yes, so I'm refining, I just refined my statements. And he died in a good old age, full of days. Full of days. What does it mean to be full of days? Being full of days means you are full of relevance, full of prominence, full of influence, full of success. Because old age and full of days are different. Otherwise, you can't say David went home. The Bible doesn't have time for necessarily repeat repetitions unless it's necessary. So full of days means, don't you want to have a lasting, be great for a long time? Yeah. Some of the kings were great for a very short period. But God wants you and I to be great for a long period of time. I said what? A long period of time. Yeah. 20 years, 30 years, 40 years of prominence. Yeah. I see you prominent in a good old age. I see you full of days, and I see myself full of days in Jesus' name. Amen. Riches, meaning that anointing and money. And anointing is not just for ministry. David was anointed to be king, anointed to rule, anointed to reign. And some people are anointed by God specially for wealth. Some people are anointed to be skillful. Amen. Yes. Daniel was anointed to be skillful. Amen. To have a certain wisdom that solved everyone's problems. Amen. And God is giving those things. And honor. What is the point without honor? When people don't honor you, people don't respect you, you have riches, but people don't respect your riches. That's in our story. said, God, this is not our story.
Amen.
Our story is the satisfied life.
Amen.
Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Look at Psalm 91, verse 16.
This one is
a God. With long life will I satisfy him. Five things God wants to satisfy us with. Number one, long life. So from now on, expect long life.
Amen.
And pray for long life. Pray for long life.
Amen.
Trust God that God would give you long life.
Amen.
There are some people who have dreams or the devil speaks to them on a regular basis. Some even here, the devil is speaking to you on a regular basis that you will die. You will die before you marry or you will die before your children graduate. The devil is telling people this thing. Because the devil, anything he can get to exploit, he would. When he sees that you are worried about something, he's going to use it.
Yeah.
But ladies and gentlemen, if that is you, tell the devil that I'll live to declare the works of God.
Amen.
I will live and I'll not die. I will live to declare the works of God.
Amen.
I will live. And I'll live and see my children. In fact, I'll be old. I'll see my grandchildren even married.
Amen.
Expect God to give you blessings to see your grandchildren married.
Amen.
I've pictured something. I think I've told some of us. Because of that, I'll make sure that once God gives me long life and good health, I'll buy a rocking chair. I'm sure you know the story. Where I'll rock, I'll sit down and I'll just be rocking as an old man and say, God, you've been good. You've been good to me. Give me long life. you can just sit there and look at back at life and say, wow, God, you've been good to me. You've been good to me. You've given me long life. May that be your story. Psalm 90, verse 14, number 2. Oh, satisfy, you see the word satisfy. Oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. God will satisfy us with mercy. How many need mercy? Why do we need mercy? Because we missed it. If you have not missed it or have not missed it, there will be no need for mercy. And I also need mercy for tomorrow, God willing, and for the future, because we will miss it. We would miss it. Look at Isaiah 53, 6. For all we as sheep have gone astray. Each man has gone his own way. But the Lord has laid on him, the iniquity. All we achieve. So we will miss it by doing things our own way instead of what God says. When God says go A, many of us sometimes go B. And that is also missing it. Because when God says go A, it's eventually to a good place. He leadeth me. I shall not want, because he's leading me. So sometimes God leads us to places, but when he's leading us, the path to the success is scary and it's inconvenient and it's a bother. Sometimes. When you read the Lord is my shepherd, you see it's a bother. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He what? Maketh me lie down. It's an intentional, I'm making the person lie down. They don't want to lie down, but I'm going to make them lie down. But lie down in what? In grass, no, in green pastures, in blessings. So God is trying to put us into blessings, but he has to make us do it. He has to sometimes force us. Lot, God had to force Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot didn't want to go. Lot wanted to stay by the plain. Lot didn't want to go, but the angel, God said, go away. But Lot didn't want to go. So God had to force him to safety. Many of us, that's what God is doing. He's making us lie down. So mercy is saying, God says, David, I want David to succeed. I want David to prosper. I want David to have good health. I want David to have long life. I want David to be rich financially. I want David to be anointed. Now I'm leading him this path. But as I lead him, he goes off. So I'm going to use my mercy to bring him back on course to the victory. And I'm not going to use it against him. That's why we need mercy. That's why we need mercy. And goodness and mercy follows us. It follows us. I said it follows us. Because the Lord is our shepherd. So you and I must make it our primary responsibility to make sure that the Lord is our shepherd. Let God guide us. There is nothing better than being guided by the one who cares for you the most and has your best interest. What else should you and I follow? Why am I saying that? Because that is what mercy is supposed to do. Mercy is supposed to say, okay, I gave them three chances and they didn't go straight to greener pastures because there were inconvenient things in front. But my mercy is going to still say, okay, I'll give him another chance. I'll give him another chance. I'll put someone right on the path so that person can speak to the person, to him. But he didn't listen. Okay, I'm going to show another grace of some more mercy. I'm going to bring another person. And then I'll actually block the way so that he's no longer going here because here looks nice. Lot took the nicer place, but it was leading to Sodom and Gomorrah.
Come on now.
Abraham took the base place. So I'm going to block it because just here there might be death waiting. Or just here there might be a loss. So I'm going to block it. Word. So God blocks the trouble. Word. And you and I start crying, God, how could you do that? Word. God, what kind of God are you? Word. God, why aren't you listening to me? Yeah. Why aren't you answering my prayers? But he's blocking you from defeat. Word. And then you are forced without hope. You don't understand what's going on. You are just forced to walk here. When you walk here, you are shocked. You are amazement. You are in greener pastures.
Wow.
You are in greener pastures. Before you even know it, you are in greener pastures. That's the mercy of God. We need mercy. We need mercy when we miss the mark. When we've fallen short. When we've fallen into sin. We need his mercy. David said, create me a clean heart. Cast me not away from your presence. Cast me not away. God was so angry with David sometime because he numbered the people. I read it and I said, when I first read it, why was God? Why should God be angry? But yeah, it could be pride. It's like pride. I want to see the power of my strength, not relying on God. Whatever God had his way. Why did Moses, after all his hard work? Oh, he worked hard. God, he pleased God. And then because he struck the rock, instead of speaking to it, you are not entering the promised land. But who knows? Maybe it broke something connected to Christ. Christ was a spiritual rock that followed them. So maybe he was supposed to speak to it and it could have signified some prophecy. It doesn't matter to me. Maybe in heaven I'll ask. But you know what I'm saying? It's so important. So important. You and I, the mercy of God. Have mercy. So David was broken. He said, look, have mercy upon me. Mercy is what I need. So many of us, we must rely on God's mercy.
Amen.
What do you think? Rely on his mercy. Rely on his grace. Oh, yes. Look at Psalm 123, verse 1 and 2.
Oh, yes. Glory, glory to God.
Unto thee lift I up mine eyes. Oh, thou that dwellest in heavens, in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, And as the eyes of maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that he hath mercy upon us. So sometimes you have to cry, God, the mercy, I need it. God said he would always have mercy on the house of David. The house of David. There will always be mercy. And there are some people who have misfortunes because they are from the house of Gehazi. Do you know about Gehazi?
Yes.
How the prophet cursed him that from now on there will be no one without leprosy in your house. Or another curse was that there will be no one who will not be leaning on a staff, meaning that cripple. But of course, Jesus broke all that. Anyone who is in Christ, who a curse has been placed on their family line, once you are in Christ, that thing is null and void.
Amen.
I said it's null and void.
Amen.
I said it's null and void.
Amen.
Of course, the devil will try to come to place it on you, but you need to stand your ground and say, no way, the blood of Jesus Christ washes me.
Amen.
The curse ends with me.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Number what?
Three.
The kids are having a field day enjoying themselves, isn't it? Psalm 132, verse 15. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I will abundantly bless her provision. I will, so remember, you're talking about what God will satisfy us with. I will satisfy her poor with bread. God will satisfy us with bread. Bread.
Amen.
How many want God to satisfy you with bread?
Amen.
Now someone will say, as for bread, tea and bread, or bagel, or sandwich, is there any satisfaction in it? It's deeper than bagel.
Yeah.
There's something we call the children's bread. The children's bread. And there is also bread of provision. The children's bread is so powerful that the crumbs are strong enough to heal someone who was far away.
Yeah.
How many are getting what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So God will satisfy us with bread.
Amen.
Means that we will get the job that we have been looking for.
Amen.
The job that will satisfy our stomach.
Amen.
Without a certain job, you can't eat good bread. Without a certain job, you can't eat a certain quality food. You see, the poor people, most poor people, would drink a lot of soda, apart from some rich people who drink like poor people.
Yeah.
That, of course, no one, I'm preaching. So when I say that, it doesn't mean someone should be offended and say, oh, I drink soda. So you understand, we are preaching. So we are talking, hallelujah. It's just a message to just say that usually poor people, soda is cheaper than the cost, in terms of cost. Soda is cheaper. Of course, some rich people drink soda. How many drink soda? At least I'm rich by faith in Jesus Christ, and I drink some soda. But I'm talking in general that the cost of soda is much cheaper than the cost of certain good, expensive drinks that are good for your health. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Also, those who want to eat organic or want to eat healthy things would have to pay much more. Hallelujah. To even get quality probiotics. Hey, probiotics, which are good for the gut, which increase the good bacteria to fight the bad bacteria. Probiotics that increase the immune system. Because the gut also has immune system. That's one of the white blood cells. The gut, the immune system is the bone marrow, the gut area. And it's very, I believe probiotics are very good. But probiotics, can you pay for it if you are earning a little money? Probiotics, you are talking $25, $30, sometimes more, $20. I mean, very expensive for probiotics. You don't have enough to buy bread. Bread doesn't mean just bread. Bread means provision, anything that will make your life comfortable.
Yeah.
But God will satisfy us with bread. I said, God will satisfy us with the ability and the means to buy what we want. The ability to buy the good things. The Bible even says, you see, poor people die before rich people in general. In general. At least Lazarus died before the rich man.
It's a preaching.
At least now we know that.
It's a good preaching.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Amen.
But God will make us wealthy.
Amen.
God will make us successful.
Amen.
God will make us wealthy in blessings, in favor, in good fruits, and financially God will bless us.
Amen.
And He will bless us so much that the things we need to buy, if one day we hear in the news that this particular thing would help people live X years longer, you'll be able to buy it, even if it's $100. So sometimes it's important to have what you need to be able to buy what you want. Bread can include clothes to wear. Bread can include buying a nice car that will not break down in the winter. Bread will include having some of the things you desire. Hallelujah. Bread is very, very important. Hallelujah. God says that's one of the things we must pray about, our daily bread. What you and I need for more comfort, God will give to us. God will open supernatural doors for more bread. He satisfies us with bread. Look at Mark chapter 8, verse 3 and 4. Five things God will satisfy us with. Number 3. That's what we're talking about. Mark 8, 3 and 4. Are you hearing God's word?
Yeah.
And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them came from afar. And his disciples answered him, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? Let's continue. And he asked them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, 7. Look, a time is coming that the blessing of that widow where the cruise of oil did not cease will happen to people.
Amen.
He said, it will happen to people.
Amen.
It will happen to people.
Amen.
God will somehow supernaturally be providing funds into your account on a regular basis that you will not understand why your account is increasing. Why is it increasing? Why is it going down? It's rather going up and up and up. That's the blessing and the anointing of abundance, of prosperity, of increase and multiplication. Receive it in Jesus' name. And they had a few small fishes, and he blessed and commanded to set them also before him. Now this is something that I believe will happen in our lives. So they did eat and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left. 7 baskets. 7 baskets. The widow, they were going to take her and her children, take her and sell them, because her husband owed some money and could not pay. Then she met the man of God, and the man of God said, give me, well, that was one. And then there was also the widow, hallelujah, who had just a small amount of oil left, had her son. There was a great famine. She was going to eat her last meal with her son so that they died together. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the man of God said, that's the willing obedience. The man of God said, you know what? Make the thing. Give me to eat first, and then you guys can eat the rest. Now, come on. How many of you will say that? What kind of wicked pastor is this?
Wicked
pastor. pastors of today, all they like is money. How? How? How can you tell me to just give you my last meal? What will my son and I eat? At least want to enjoy the meal well before we die. But the woman, you see, God sometimes is trying to look for a reason to bless us. So God said that there are so many widows out there. There are so many people in this land, and there's a famine that is killing them all. Now I must choose someone who I can have a reason to bless. So let me test. Who knows whether he had other prophets test and none of them passed. So he said, okay, give it to me. So she made it and gave it to him. And he ate it first. Then he said, according to the word of the Lord, that I want you to take different vessels. And she owed also. Different vessels. Borrow as many as you can. And then that cruse of oil that is left, fill those jars and then sell them and then pay off your debt and then use the rest to live. Now, if I hear that, I will know that if you are telling me to borrow many vessels and I'm you to fill them, then it means that the more bottles I borrow, the more money, the more oil I'll have. I'll fill the house with bottles. I'll call people, bring, look, it will be in excess. So she poured. It never ceased till the last bottle. When she reached the 20th or whatever bottle, poured the oil in, then the oil finished. I say, all you need to do is to believe. How high? I said, how high? How high do you want? What do you want God to do for you? Aim high. I said what? Aim high. I said aim high. God is the God of impossibilities. Actually, he specializes in impossibilities. God was told, the people were told, the Israelites were told that, oh, your God is the God of the valley and not the hill. Or your God is the God of the hill, not the valley. God said, is that what you are saying? Okay, I'm going to prove to you that I'm the God of everything. And he made himself strong on their behalf. Ladies and gentlemen, whatever you expect, God will not cut off the expectation of the righteous. I said, God will not cut off the expectation of the righteous. God would make sure that no matter what, if you believe him, if you trust in him, look, the sky's the limit.
Amen.
Do you believe for $1 million? He can give it to you. Do you believe for a certain amount of prosperity? He will give it to you.
Amen.
Oh yes, I believe it. You can have what you say. You can have what you say. You can confess what you say. You can confess. You can believe it. You can trust God. God said, you do not have because you don't ask. God is telling us in the book of James, you don't ask. That's why you don't receive. You don't ask. Now someone will say, oh God, this one, I've asked, but you've not given it to me. But God said, ask and keep on asking. Ask and what?
Keep on asking.
So our duty is to what? Keep on asking. And then the one who answers prayer, in Luke 18, verse 1, the one who we are praying to, who is going to make sure we get our answers, gave us a parable to encourage us to always pray and never give up. So imagine a child, you have a parent, and you have a child, and you are trying to teach your child self-discipline, you are trying to teach your child certain things, and you have the money, your child is asking for $10, and you have the money to give your child. You actually have it ready in your pocket to give your child. But you tell your child that, don't give up asking me, keep asking me. I'll give it to you. You know you are going to give it to the child. But if the child just asks a couple of times, maybe you are in your mind, you say, okay, I'll give it to the child when they ask me 10 times, and they ask you 3 times. and don't give it to them. That's why the God, and he speak a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, not to give up. Always to pray, always to pray. Pray without ceasing, pray without giving up. Pray always, pray without giving up. Because God has to teach us certain experiences along the way to give us the tools we need to move on to the next levels. So sometimes it is, this person must pray 10 times. The law of repeated ministration. There was a time that the man of God went to the king and said, the armies of the enemy are coming to fight against you. Now, this is an arrow, a bow and an arrow. Shoot! He didn't say how many times. The man of God shot it a number of times. And then the prophet said, this is the deliverance. You are going to win the next battle. Now, take the bow or the arrow and strike the ground. He struck the ground 3 times and the man of God was angry. Why didn't you strike it 5 times? Why didn't you strike it 6 times? Because you only strike it 3 times, you would win only 3 battles and you will not win the rest. But if you have struck it even 5 times, you would have won all your battles. Because who knows, maybe there are 8 demons, you pray the first one, clears the first. Pray the second one, clears the second. Pray the third one, clear, and there are 3 more. When Daniel prayed, the angel had his answer. But the prince of Persia withstood the angel until Michael the great prince came to his aid. Hallelujah. Bread. Oh, I see bread coming to you. I said, I see bread coming to you. And this bread is also healing. This bread is also deliverance. This bread is also peace. This bread is also joy. I said the bread God would give to you and I would be a blessing. Psalm 58 verse 11. Now move on to the next so that we can quickly finish. Psalm 58 verse 11. Just one more. So that a man shall say, verily there is a reward for the righteous. Verily he is the God that judgeth in the earth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I think it's Isaiah 58:11. Which takes us to the next. Isaiah 58:11. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. Therefore is God will satisfy your soul. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought. So even in drought, even in famine, even in a lack of water, even in lack of nourishment, even in spiritual wilderness experiences, God will satisfy your soul.
Yeah.
God will guide us continually. I see God guiding you continually. Oh, I see God guiding you continually. You will have fat bones, but you will be like a watered garden. It's important to have fat bones. Why? I don't even need to ask Pastor Sam, because the Bible says so. So most likely there's a good medical reason for that. I don't even need to know because the Bible says so. I said bone density. I didn't know, but I knew that for sure. Pastor Sam, who is a doctor and physician practicing, says that bone density.
Thank
many can I admit that not everyone who has a good job, has money, has a car, and is married is satisfied? There are many people who are financially wealthy but are not satisfied. And only if people knew it. There are many Christians, if they met Jesus, Jesus would say, wow, go to that man who was arguing with his brother about the inheritance, and he will explain to you. That's what Jesus had told us. A man would say, Master, talk to my brother to divide the inheritance with me carefully. Jesus said, for that, I didn't come here for that. I don't have time for that. Beware of covetousness. For a man's life does not consist of the abundance of the things that he possesses. Meaning that what the amount of money I possess will not define how satisfied I am. Will not define how happy I am. Otherwise, Michael Jackson was the happiest person. Otherwise, all these rich people in depression will be the happiest people. I know about doctors who have told me about how many of their rich patients, some of them need antidepressant depression medication. Look, money doesn't give you happiness. But when you are rich in God and you have money, you will be happy. Oh yeah. Bible says money answers all things. But the lack of money is the root of all evil. But money answers all things to the one who is rich in God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So God will satisfy you and I tell you. That you see, I'm reading to you and I'm guaranteeing and I'm telling you as a fact in myself that these are what God wants to do for us. In fact, God, this is God's plan for you and I.
Amen.
This is God's plan for you and I. God will satisfy us with things money cannot buy.
Amen.
Do you think money can buy everything? There are people who were diagnosed with a certain type of cancer. They had all the money in the world, but that money couldn't help them. Some people have a lot of money. Things are going well. Oh, they clap for them. They celebrated milestones. They are happy. Oh, wow. They don't believe in God. Oh, wow. Yes, 10 years. They celebrate. You are a great person, great person. And then they go to do their annual physical checkups. And then are diagnosed with a disease. And their worlds come tumbling down. I remember I was in El Salvador. I was with every man who was sitting down. That thing, I wish I had power. Yeah. I said, but I wish I had power. I was sitting down in South America. Look. If you want to know about, I love those people. If you want to know about or in Central America, people who like prayer, they love to be prayed for. And that's a good attitude you must have. Meaning that, pray for me, saints, pray for me. This woman came because she saw God's miracles the day before. Great miracles God did in the crusade. And I was sitting down with her mat. And I like to talk to people because I feel Jesus talked to people all around. But at that time, I was about to preach, and I was not ready to talk to people, so I was hiding. Then, a woman came with an interpreter and said I should pray for her. She showed me the lump, the tumor, the cancer. Was it over here, one of these cancers? And as I was praying for her, she held my hand. I said, oh my goodness, I wish I had power to heal her. I don't have power to even heal my cold or whatever. But at least I wish that woman, that's why I always talk about that. I wish I had power to heal that woman. I could say, God, you know what, I have 10 things you give me. I'm using one of them to pray so I'm healed this woman. I felt so sad for her. Hallelujah. So there are things that money can't buy. And I think God encouraged me that day or the next day, where I prayed, we prayed, and people were being healed and coming in the healing line. And a little girl. Oh, I wept when she took it. I'll tell you why I wept. The little girl, I said, "Can you see?" The girl, do you understand? Okay, what's the testimony? Instead of, she didn't have a testimony. Other people were talking about their testimonies, but she came and said, "Pastor, can you pray for my eyes? I want to see. I can't see clearly, it's dizzy." So I prayed and I said, "Remove the glasses. Can you see?" Do you know her response? Cried to her mother. I had no mother. Oh, I was sad. And I just said, "It will be well. By tomorrow," I just said it in faith. I just said, "By tomorrow, God willing, by the time you wake up, you will see." The next day, as I was preparing for the crusade, and I was sitting down, Reverend Mark and LP Rosemary, and some of the people and in the chair, then the pastor said, "Some people want to meet you. Come and see this girl without her glasses, who was totally healed." Yeah. Totally healed. And I told them that, actually, if it was just this girl I came for, I was going on. Just this girl. Just this girl. I came for her. Hallelujah. It's a blessing. So, you see that money can't buy everything, but God can satisfy with help, like he did to this little girl. Amen. You see it on if you watch on Facebook or YouTube, you see the girl. You see that girl with the glasses. I don't even know whether she cried. I think she was crying when you watch the video. The kids are having a party. How many want God to satisfy your soul? Finally, Psalm 103, verse 1 to 5. God will satisfy my soul. God will satisfy your soul. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. You and I must not forget. Verse 3. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases? Verse 4. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? This is what God does for you and I. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness? So he crowns us with loving kindness. It means this loving kindness is all over from the top of our heads to the soles of our feet. And tender mercies, verse 5. Who satisfieth thy mouth with what? Good things. So that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. God will satisfy you and I with good things. As with good things. That's why David was confident to say, "I have been young and I've been old. I'm not never, in all my years in Jerusalem and my travels, I've never seen the righteous ever forsaken." I mean, I've never seen a righteous person who eventually they live and die and they are miserable. They are just in a hopeless situation perpetually from beginning to death. And their children are begging for bread. I beg you, cannot have bread. He's not seen that before. Oh, he will satisfy us with him. Amen. Oh, I said he will satisfy us with him.
Amen.
He will.
Amen.
He will.
Amen.
There are more good things God has in store for us.
Amen.
And all you and I need to do is to ask him.
Amen.
Jesus said, "If you and I who are evil, we know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more shall our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to to them that ask him. And then he also said, if we who are evil know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more shall our Heavenly Father give good things to those who ask him? So from now on, because God has promised in Psalm 103 verse 5 that he will satisfy our mouth with good things, from now on, ask him for the good things.
Amen.
Yes, ask him for the good things. Don't be shy of asking God for good things. Because God wants to give us all good things to enjoy. I see God lifting you up. I see God promoting you. Look, there are some of us here who God is promoting. Oh, promotion cometh not from the south. Promotion does not come from the east or the west. But promotion cometh from the Lord. I see God sustaining someone. I see God setting someone securely on high. I see God closing every wrong door. I see the walls of opposition. The walls that are frustrating some people. I see those walls coming down. So they are coming down. Every spirit of heaviness, every spirit of fear, I see them being toppled. I see the light of the glorious gospel shining and outshining every dark area of our lives, every dark area of wrong, every dark area of defeat, every dark area of poverty, every dark area of problems. I see the light of Jesus Christ shining against every darkness and dispelling it. I see people being blessed. I see people being strengthened. I see people being upheld. I see God fighting your battles for you. Who is fighting for you? Jehovah Nissi Albana. I said, who is providing for you? Jehovah Jireh is fighting. I said, who is your peace? Who is going to give you tranquility? The Prince of Peace, Jehovah Shalom. I see him doing it for you. Who is your doctor? I see Jehovah Rapha, our physician. I see him providing. Oh, my little Shanana. Let's stand to our feet and let's speak to God in the name of Jesus. Oh, my Shama Toma Kama Mama Sangora Mama. Yendo Kadoshine Mado Renda Bamba Damos. Oh, let's come. We want the worship team to come forward. Oh, yes. Let's speak to God. But before we do, look, God, there are so many different testimonies I've heard in many of these meetings. Why? Because I believe in miracles. I just try to believe in God. And I dare to believe. Do you understand what I'm saying? I dare to believe. I dare to walk in faith. You also dare to walk in faith. I always say to myself that I cannot have a service without believing God and expecting God to perform miracles in those services. Especially if we are trusting in Him.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I get what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
I want us to trust God. I want us to trust God. There are some people who are, it looks like you are in a chain. You can't even move a step forward.
Come on.
You can't move a step. You are trying to move, but you can't even move. But that chain is going to be sliced by the two I just saw of Jesus Christ. So I want us to just speak to the Lord. I want us to sing, I surrender. I surrender all to Jesus.
To Jesus I surrender all. To Him I begin. I will never
Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I am not born again.
Oh yes. Jesus.
I want my sins forgiven. I want to be washed with the blood of Jesus Christ. And you want to say, Pastor, pray with me. Pray with me. I don't know Jesus Christ. I want the new birth experience.
Yes.
In fact, this part of the service, it's amazing how people chat, walk around. Mm. This is the most important.
Yes.
Actually, yes. When I'm in a crusade, I'm somewhere and people have miracles occur and there's no salvation.
Yeah.
I'm sad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I take it as a failure.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Because salvation is the most important.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Because it's taking someone who is lost.
Come on.
Out of fellowship with Jesus and bringing them to Jesus Christ.
Right.
It's the most important thing. So it hurts me sometimes when I know that there are people who can be saved and are not saved. I think that, why God, did I do something? What happened? Why didn't you save people? Because that is the most important thing. So if you are here today and you want to say, Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to be born again. Please raise your hands high up and I'll pray with you. Is there anyone? Yes, come to Jesus. Is there anyone who wants to say, Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want the new birth experience. One more time, just raise your hands and I'll pray. You might be saying to yourself, oh, I'll try it the next time. I have a few things to sort out. I'm not ready to give my life to Christ. But Jesus wants you just the way you are. If you want to say, Pastor, maybe I've been a Christian, but I'm backslidden. Or I'm far from God, but I want Jesus. I want to be saved. One more time before we pray, lift your hands high up. Is there anyone? Okay. After singing, yes. Finish singing it and then we pray.
Give them your heart today.
Jesus, for saving me.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, the most important part of our service has been done. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Of course, there are also people watching. If God has saved, if you've been saved, you've given your life to Jesus Christ, I want you to go to a good church and just go there, hear the word of God, become a good Christian.
Amen.
God will bless you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I mean, salvation, let's think, salvation is so important that every service, whether it's a weekday, no matter what, so long as I can be heard somewhere, Facebook, wherever, I would altar call. Even if it's one person, I would do an altar call. Why? Because if there's no one who needs, like for example, everybody saved here, beautiful. But imagine there are people who are not saved.
That's right.
Ask myself.
That's right.
Why did I not pray more? What did I do? Do you understand?
Yeah.
Because that is more important than anything.
Yeah.
If there are lost people and they are all healed and they are not saved, I haven't succeeded. It didn't work. If no one is healed and they are saved, it's work. What do you think?
Yeah.
Because salvation is salvation. Shall we now ask God for what we are looking for? Speak to God. First of all, let's see God's kingdom. Tell God that you want to know Him more, you want to bless Him more, and then speak to Him about your needs. He is the God who is more than able. More than able. I want us to pray. I want us to pray. I said today, God is going to do something in somebody's life. I said today, God is going to meet someone's needs. I said from today, a miracle is going to occur. I said today, the Lord God is going to meet. The Lord God is going to are in a tight corner, and God is the one who will deliver us. yes, yes. Yes, Lord, meet our needs. Oh, we pray for your charisma. We pray for your anointing. We pray for your peace. We pray for your favor. We pray for your power. We pray for your Holy Spirit. Oh, God, meet us. Meet me. Open doors. Open doors. Open doors. And I'm not talking about the perfect. God hears the prayers of the righteous.
Amen.
Let me give you an example as we pray so that we'll just pray again. Kenneth Hagin was having a service, a healing service, and there was a lady who was sick, very sick, a condition that would keep her sick till death. And she would just have to survive in it. Now, he was praying for this lady. But before the prayers, some people who just trusted in God, they were not perfect, some were drinking alcohol and everything, were struggling. God, help me, Pastor, give me tips to overcome, do and be healed. Now, he was praying for a Christian woman. And he heard her as she was praying. Oh God, heal me of this condition. I am one of the best Christians in this church. I pay my tithe. I give my offering. I don't do wrong. I don't do this. She died with that disease. She still lived a certain amount of a length of time, but she died with that disease. She was never healed. It doesn't mean that God doesn't heal everyone who talks like that. But what I'm saying is that you know that God is going to heal you because you are righteous because of your faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what. So it means that everyone who is a born-again Christian is qualified.
Amen.
Everyone who said that prayer I mentioned is qualified. Amen. Once you repeated it and you believed it, pray knowing that God is going to come in for you.
Amen.
Shall we pray just a few moments? Santa Masoka Batanama Santo Pira Matanama Santo Pirata Shota Sago Tayama Inimaton Santa Mitabusha Toka Santa Gita in the name of Jesus Shako Shani Mama Sotani Shatani Santa Matani Santo Pirata
Lift your voice and pray. Pray somebody.
Let your voice, somebody, something is happening. Lord is supplying. The Lord is supplying. The Lord is supplying. There is a supply. The Lord is moving to somebody. The book of remembrance been brought before the Lord. They are looking for that book and remember that our iniquities are supplying Jesus. Lift up your voice and pray hard. Push hard. Somebody push hard. Somebody push hard. Somebody push hard. The devil is a liar. I said the devil is a liar. I said the devil is a liar. The devil said you are tired, but you are not tired. The devil said don't pray, but the devil is a liar. Push somebody out. It's what on the hour. Any mama sang it in this attack. Only mama sang it in the talk. Somebody push. You are about impact. Impact fire, Baba. Travail. Impact on the Mama Santa. In the time of Mama Santa, Baba. Something is happening up. Something is changing up. Empataya Baba. Push us. Push us. Push us. The devil is a liar. Ima Tandiri Bikota. Many Mama Tandiri Bikota. Yea. Yea. You said we should ask. Lord, we are asking. Lord, we are asking. Lord, we are asking. Lord, we are asking. May you bypass our iniquities and bypass our mistakes and bypass our sins. Let your blessing fall now. In my tongue, in my tongue, in my tongue, the floodgates of heaven. Pour it down. Pour it down. Send your angels. Send your supernatural. Send Michael. Send Gabriel. Come to our knees. Something is changing. In the name of Jesus. 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 Something is changing. Something is changing. Something is changing. Something is changing. Something is happening. Report fire. But don't do that. In the name of Jesus. The finances are in Pataya, Pony Mama. give you whatever time you
Receive the Holy Ghost right now. Receive it. The power of God is flowing right now. It's flowing. I said it's flowing. I said it's flowing. It's flowing. It's flowing. Someone is receiving something. Someone is receiving something. 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 Someone is receiving something.
Yes.
Oh, Jesus. There's a certain strong high wall that was holding someone bound. That wall, I see, it's cracking.
Yes!
It's cracking.
Yes, Lord!
It's cracking.
Yes!
It's cracking.
Yes!
It's exploded.
Yes!
Receive it, whoever you are, in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Thank you.
Jesus.
Thank you. Thank you. Wow. God has just, by the grace of God, look, I see someone who God has given supernatural ability to. You see, you can run, but the kind of wall that is there, you cannot run past it. But I see God supernaturally giving someone that it's like you are running, and it's like you are in the air and going over it. Receive it wherever you are. Jesus. Yes. And these things, they are practical. They are real.
Amen.
I see it. Yes. I see. I see. The Bible says that the man of God, Elijah, there was an abundance of rain. And the king had the swiftest and fastest horses. By the time I finish explaining this, somebody's going to receive a touch. The king, you see, the king had the fastest and swiftest horses. And there was abundance of rain. So Elijah told the king, rush to the gates. And the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he gathered up his loins, and he overtook the king's chariot. I see God giving you a certain anointing to overtake. A certain overtaking.
Yes.
One, two,
yes.
Three, four, receive it.
Yes.
Jesus.
Name.
Jesus. Yes. Yes. There is a tongue. Somebody is receiving a tongue, a new thing, a new utterance. There's something, whether it's singing or it's speaking.
One, two, three, four. Receive it.
Someone needs to see this.
Jesus. Take it. Take it. It's yours. It's yours. It's flowing. It's flowing. It's flowing.
Jesus.
Someone is receiving chills.
Jesus.
Or like shivers.
Jesus.
It's flowing. You are the one. Take it. Take it. Take it. Take it. It's flowing. It's flowing.
Yes.
It's flowing.
Oh, yes.
Receive it.
Yes.
One.
Yes.
Two.
Yes.
Three.
Yes.
Four. Receive it in Jesus' name. Wow. A supernatural gift is coming to someone.
Yes, Lord.
Someone is receiving a supernatural gift.
I receive.
What I mean by that is a gift of the Holy Spirit.
I receive.
Someone is receiving a spiritual gift.
I receive.
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 Receive it.
I receive it.
Receive it.
I receive it.
One, two, three, four.
Receive it.
Receive it.
Jesus.
Jesus' name. Fire! 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 It's flowing. It's flowing.
Mm.
One of the pastors is being charged with something. One of the pastors is receiving an extra anointing you need. An extra anointing you need.
Jesus.
Receive it.
Jesus.
Receive it. Receive a charge. Receive that supernatural power. That gift. Someone is receiving.
Jesus.
Somebody.
Jesus.
Somebody. Somebody, something that will take you to the next level.
Yes,
something that will take you to the next level.
I receive it.
Something that will take you to the
I
next level.
I receive it.
Ashes, watch it. One, two, three. Receive it. Says, and Jesus breathed on them and received the Holy Ghost. Receive the Holy Ghost. Receive the Holy Ghost. Taking a deep breath and receive the Holy Ghost. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Receive the Holy Spirit from the Lord. God, we receive the Holy Spirit. Take it now. Receive it. Ah, yes. Things are. Someone is bound by chains. It's like spiritual chains. Spiritual chains.
Oh, Jesus.
And
prophecy.
It's like those heavy metals that secure ships. Those chains, I see it wrapped around someone. Father God, we thank you that it's breaking.
It's broken.
It's broken. It's broken. It's broken. It's broken. It's broken. It's been unwound.
Yes.
It's been unwound. It's been unwound. It's been unwound. And I see it's flying up.
Yes!
Receive
it! Yes!
Someone is receiving the singing grace to sing. Someone's singing is about to change.
Yes.
So someone is receiving a new time to sing.
Yes.
Wow. Wow.
Jesus.
Someone is about to receive a powerful singing gift.
Yes.
Yes. Whoever you are, take it, it's yours.
Receive it.
Whoever you are, take it, it's yours.
Receive it.
Receive it.
Receive it
means accept it and take it.
It's yours.
Take it. It's yours. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it.
Jesus.
One, two, three, four. Take it. It's yours. It's yours. It's yours. It's yours. It's yours.
an impossible situation. An impossible situation.
My God.
Father God, solve this impossible situation.
Yes, in the name of Jesus.
Someone, I see someone being delivered from an impossible situation.
In the name of Jesus.
Actually, as I was speaking about it, it is as if a hand has just carried you and removed you from that box and put you on the
floor. Yes!
Receive it in Jesus' name.
Receive it!
Jesus.
Wow.
I believe in this confession. That's the same way I just said it to the child, little girl. I just said, by tomorrow, I said it. I just believed it.
Yes.
I didn't know that you
prophesied.
Believe in me. I see someone who is about to receive a gift to dream dreams, see visions,
yes,
to prophesy.
Yes.
I see that. Strength in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Strength in the name of the Lord.
Yes.
Hope in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Hope, in fact, hope is being poured out now.
Yes.
Hope is being poured out now.
Yes.
Take it. Receive it.
Yes.
Hope.
Yes.
Hope.
Yes.
Hope has been poured out.
Yes.
Hope is being poured out.
Yes.
Hope is being poured out.
Yes.
There are some who have lost hope completely. But there's a restoration of hope that is coming into you. It's been injected into you.
Jesus.
Receive it in Jesus' name.
Jesus. Prophesy.
Wow. God is good.
Amen.
Someone received a bag.
I receive it.
And that bag is what will change their destiny a good financial outcome.
I receive it!
Just my portion. Documents, whether it is money, whatever it is, it's a legitimate good and bad. Lift your hands to Jesus.
Oh, Shatam Diddy's Katam Dolobo Satan Kata. Sony Mama Tambuli is all.
Someone you have not heard from or seen in a long time. Someone you've not heard from this person in a long time. You've not seen him. The person in a long time, you are not even thinking about that particular person. That person would have an answer for you that would solve a problem for you.
I receive it.
That would solve an outstanding problem.
Receive it.
There's someone who has been told many times, God is going to use you. 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 Someone has been told many times, God is going to use you. There have been different prophecies, but you feel like you are at a standstill. You want to serve God. You can't. There's a person, I don't know the name of him, but there's a person who is at a standstill. They've heard it many times and they are now tired of it because they want to, but it looks like the ability to is not there. God is freeing you from that ability.
Yes!
Something that is preventing you.
Jesus!
And you would fulfill the will of God.
Yes!
Receive it in Jesus'
name. I receive it!
Jesus.
Oh, we give you praise.
Oh, yes, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
We give you,
Father, we give you all the praise,
all the honor. us look up to Jesus and worship him.
Holy are you, Lord.
How many are looking for a miracle?
Oh, Reverend, we are here.
Very soon, I'll call you to come forward and we will pray. Now, we are praying because we are agreeing together. Jesus said, we're two of you agree.
Yes.
Discussing anything.
Yes.
Yes.
So yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Bye.
somebody. it better than you. Yeah.
Thank you.
Spirit, move me now.
Move you. Chapter 11,
Kata. May my life all again.
We need you,
Lord.
Sing it like you mean it.
Over me.
Sing like you mean it, somebody.
Secret rule.
Sing it like you mean it, somebody.
Can't
do this without you, so I need.
Oh,
God when I'm in loss and wonder. Consider all the works thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder.
It's flowing. Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Power!
Receive a touch. Touch.
Oh God,
touch her, Lord. Use her, Lord.
Jesus.
Use her, Lord.
Jesus.
Yes.
Yes.
Check it out. In the name of Jesus, Osataya Baba. Ani mama sitin diri di kota. Ripa koni mama kota. Ipa koni mama sitin diri di ke. Ipa koni mama sitin diri di kota. In the name of Jesus, Ripa soka. Ripa soka ta. Ripa soka ta. Ripa. After these people, anyone who needs healing or has a desperate miracle, after praying for these ones, you come. This will be very quick because I have to catch a flight.
Are you Lord and all creation? They call you God.
Think about that lyric, somebody.
Oh. It's your name. We worship
you alone.
Your majesty. Awesome God, how great thou art. You are God, mighty are your
for the very last time. up again.
We said, holy are you, Lord.
Power and
all we